I'd like to talk about something that could be a sensitive subject, especially in this world, depending on how one would look at this, because I'm sure that we have all, one time or another, put our trust in something that we thought we were sure about, but then have been mistaken. Trust is defined as a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. This world today's majority puts too much trust in people and physical things, and many times what they ask for and what they want, they don't end up getting. But how do they ask? What do they ask for? And who else should they ask? Many forget or don't even know about the bigger picture and who it is that supplies all desires and is a source of trust. As you already know, I'm going to be speaking about trust today. And Mr. Link was right. I do not know how long this is going to be, and it is a nice surprise. But if I do reach the hour mark, someone please let me know so I don't go too far ahead. So where do so many people put their trust? They trust in riches. They trust in their jobs, in their boss and coworkers, in physical things, in certain individual people like a doctor or even a lawyer. They trust in religion, trust in friends and family, even in their mate. They could trust in a political leader like a president, and so on. Now, ask yourself where you put your trust in. Do you trust in your work and your boss? Do you trust in your coworkers? Do you trust in a lawyer and a doctor, financial advisor, family, or friends? Perhaps when you were a child, you put a trust in a superhero like Batman or Spider-Man or Superman or Wonder Woman. Maybe. Maybe you still trust in that one. Do you trust in what you hear on TV or what you read in the paper? Do you trust in a man like a political leader, the president? Do you trust in your country? Do you trust in a false god and a false religion or a false teaching? Or do you trust in the Church of God, God the Father, and Jesus Christ, and the Bible? Do you trust yourself to make the right decisions and follow God's law? We have to be very careful where we put all our trust and confidence in. A lot of things that I just mentioned here were merely things just to think about, and it's not right or wrong to trust in those things, but you have to be careful. We all have a boss, and even if you are self-employed, have to put our trust in them somewhat, because they or you are in fact the person who is giving you work, right? We may have a doctor that we have to put trust in when we are hurt or sick. We trust in the doctor because normally that's what they've been doing all their life, training to be a doctor to make you healthy. But we're not supposed to put all our trust in doctors and leave, of course, the most important one out of the picture. But like with anything else, it's not wrong to have a second or third opinion, but ultimately, we will have to put our trust in him or her to a certain extent to help with our healing process. As a doctor, we also may put a trust into a lawyer. Let's say if one of us would get a jury duty summons, there is a lawyer that we have to put our trust in to get us out of that situation. Or if, let's say, we're hit with a lawsuit, it's important to have a lawyer there for you that you can trust. However, not all trustworthy lawyers exist. I have a little joke here I like to read. Actually, it may be a true story. But it's about a defense attorney who was cross-examining a police officer during a felony trial. Question: Officer, did you see my client fleeing the scene? Answer: No, sir, but I subsequently observed a person matching the description of the offender running several blocks away. Question, officer, who provided this description? Answer, the officer who responded to the scene. Question, a fellow officer provided the description of the so-called offender. Do you trust your fellow officers? Answer, yes, sir, with all my life. With your life? Let me ask you this then, officer. Do you have a locker room in the police station? A room where you can change your clothes in preparation for your daily duties? Yes, sir, we do. And do you have a locker in that room? Yes, sir, I do. And do you have a lock on your locker? Yes, sir, I do. Now, why is it, officer, if you trust your fellow officers with your life, that you find it necessary to lock your locker in a room you share with those officers? Answer, you see, sir, we share the building with a court complex, and sometimes defense attorneys have been known to walk through that room. Do you trust in family or friends, TV and magazines? You can't always believe what is told on TV because it may not be truthful, or they may just present a slight percentage of the truth. And that small percentage is just a little bit of what's really going on in the world. They don't want to scare the society and tell everybody what is going on. See, our updates, for example, as we heard about in the announcements, is the real deal. Many don't know what's going on or going to happen. Or they know it's going to happen, but they don't believe it. Or they know and they believe, but don't take it serious. Through all the things and people we put our trust in, we must never leave God out of this picture. It is through God and because of God we have certain trust in certain individuals. But we must also be aware of the tests and trials when it comes to trust. You may be surprised to find out what the Bible has to say about trust, who to trust, and who not to trust. I want to start off with what the Bible has to say about the things we shouldn't put our complete trust in. So, what does the Bible have to say about friends or man? Let's turn to Micah chapter 7, verse 5. Micah chapter 7, verse 5. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Verse 7, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me. Also in these scriptures, it does refer to people that you are in close contact with, like family. Let's also turn to Psalm chapter 146. I am making a point of this. Psalms chapter 146, verse 3 and 4. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Man's only flesh and bone. What can they do when they're dead? A man also like a political leader, like a president. Let's also now turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Because we have to be careful where you put your trust in people. And you also have to be careful what you would say. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. The Bible's not saying that it is wrong to have friends, but we have to choose our friends wisely. There is so much lack of trust out there in the world, and you never know what friends may do behind someone's back. Which brings me to my next little joke. And this one's about three tortoises, and their names are Nick, Alan, and Les. And they decide to go on a picnic. So Nick packs the picnic basket with some bottles of Coke and sandwiches. The trouble is, the picnic site is 10 miles away, so it takes them 10 days to get there. When they get there, Nick unpacks the food and soda and says, "Okay, Les, give me the bottle opener." "I didn't bring it," says Les. "I thought you packed it." Nick gets worried. He turns to Alan. "Did you bring the bottle opener?" Naturally, Alan didn't bring it. So they're stuck 10 miles from home without a bottle opener. Nick and Alan beg Les to go back for it, but he refuses as he says they will eat all the sandwiches when he's gone. So after 2 hours of pleading, and after they have promised on their tortoise lives that they will not eat the sandwiches, he finally agrees. So Les sets off down the road at a steady pace. 20 days pass, and he still isn't back. And Nick and Alan are starving, but a promise is a promise. Another 5 days, and he still isn't back, but a promise is a promise. Finally, they can't take it any longer, so they each take out a sandwich, and just as they are about to eat it, Les pops up from behind a rock and shouts, "I knew it! I'm not going." An important lesson, because friends are important to have, and they can be a great value of us. Not in that example, in fact, but this was the point I was saying. Going to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I always have a problem with finding this book for some reason. Anybody know what page that's on? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, it's right now. Excuse me. I thought in that moment of silence I better say something. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Talks about the value of a friend. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. On to the next point. What does the Bible have to say about trusting in riches and physical things? Mark chapter 10. Verse 17 through 27. Talks about exactly this. Scriptures that we are most assuredly familiar with. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, talking about Jesus Christ here, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Verse 23, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And also turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, and that they may lay hold on eternal life. This right here is a command for the rich. There's also another warning for those who do trust in riches. You can find that in Proverbs chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 28. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Verse 28, not 29. Okay. He who trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. On to the next point. What does the Bible have to say about weapons and war? Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. Psalm chapter 44 also talks about how we should not, or should be careful about what we trust in when it comes to war, and remember who does the fighting for us. I think I'm going to go read this whole chapter and just touch on some things. Starting in verse 1, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days and days of old. You drove out the nations with your hands, but them you planted, you afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. You are my king, O God, command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push down your enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies, and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. War is not going to solve anything. And as long as there is a war, there is no peace. Look at what is happening today. During the time before David and the time of David, there was a lot of war. And because they were a warfaring nation, and because of the hardness of their hearts, God let them fight. That you can read about in 1 Samuel chapter 8, 19. I'll read that really quick. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. God let them fight. However, they did have to suffer the consequences by always having to fight, since the fighting kept on happening, and as a result, many lives were lost. David also fought and had to suffer the consequence as well by not being allowed to build a temple for God. But we must understand that God fights all of our battles. If the world would understand that today, then there wouldn't be any war, but there would be peace. Unfortunately, that is not the case, because man doesn't have the faith in God, and they want to put matters into their own hands. The world will be destroyed through war, and no life will remain, unless Christ comes back to intervene, and they will not learn war anymore. Micah chapter 4, verse 3. Micah chapter 4, verse 3. He, talking about Christ, shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. No, neither shall they learn war anymore. Do not trust in idols. For the next point. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 17. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed, who trust in carved images, who say to the molded images, "You are our gods." Psalm 106, verse 36, associates idols as a snare because it's false worship. Worshipping graven images that represent Christ or Virgin Mary, for example, is against what God commands not to do. Even a simple thing like a cross is considered an idol that shouldn't be worshipped. Putting money before anything else is also a snare, and money can also be considered an idol. Worshipping men, as we talked about earlier, can also be a snare. There will be a time where man will trust in false prophets, and they will trust in miracles and signs, and they will deceive many, even the people in church. If you want, you could read about that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, chapter 24, verse 11, and Mark 13, 22. And what about yourself? What kind of trust do you put into yourself? The Bible does have scriptures say about that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25 through 26. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Can't trust yourself without having God in the picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Elaborates that further with God being in the picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Verse 9 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also help me together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. God also delivers us from suffering, and he also trusts in us that we shall understand what he says. In verse 13, for we are not writing any other things to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand, even to the end. Let's go to chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 6, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. God has tremendous trust in us. Question is, do we trust God when times are tough, especially with things that he commands us to do? Do we have enough trust to do what we're supposed to do? There is, however, a warning for those who exalt in themselves. We can read about that in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14, talks about trusting yourself, thinking that you're too righteous. In verse 9, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to this house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, these several points that I just mentioned, talking about things that the Bible tells us that we should not put our trust into. But now I would like to talk about where we should put our trust in. That is, if we are willing to do that. We have a choice, as always, to have God in our lives. So where should we put our trust, and who should we trust in? In God we trust. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And also in Psalms chapter 37, verse 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Trust in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What exactly is that? There's a lot of things that you have to do for yourself. There's a big part that you have to do before you can inherit the promises that he gives us. What kind of blessings do we want? Simple commands that God gives us to do, which may seem very difficult, aren't. He wouldn't give us a command if we cannot do it. It's all a matter of how strong are you, and what are you willing to do to inherit those blessings? Psalms chapter 118 and verse 8 elaborates further on trusting in God, not in man or princes. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We read about several individuals in the Bible who put their trust in God, like David, who went to God many times in prayer to ask for deliverance from his persecutors. We read about that in 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, and also in Psalms chapter 7, verse 1. We read about Job, who went through some very serious trials and had to trust the Lord that what was happening to him was for a reason. We know about Abraham, who trusted in the Lord when he was to offer up his son as a sacrifice. Moses trusted in the Lord when he was commanded to free Israel from Egypt. Even Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, had to trust in his Father to get through trials and when he was being tempted by Satan. Remember, Christ was human when he was on this earth, and he could have sinned because he was in fact human. And through trust, faith, and the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to go through what was prophesied for our benefit, so we could inherit eternal life. As you may already know, trust and faith go together. You can't have faith if you don't have any trust. And that is why prayer is very important. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 18 and 19. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Times will get more and more tough, as the Bible prophesies. We may not see it now at full extent, but it will be scary, and we have to stay strong and put our trust in God and what He promises us. The world is blind right now, and they don't realize what is to come in the near future. The final scripture I'd like to turn to is Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, talks about the end times and that when we trust in God, we shouldn't be afraid. Verse 8, therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation. All my fierce anger, all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of jealousy. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Because we know what is going to happen, and because of what the Bible prophesies and the incredible knowledge that we all have, we shouldn't be afraid. Even though times are going to get really, really tough, we don't see that now. And God promises that He will protect us if we do what we're supposed to do. If you are ever in doubt about somebody or something, just remember who we can count on at all times and when we should put our trust, because it is in God we trust.